Enough of this. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday, December 6th afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly, Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Carla, could you please read items 1307 through 1310?
1307, adopt the Central City 2035 Plan, Volume 2A, Part 3, Environmental and Scenic, amend the Portland Zoning Map and Portland Zoning Codes for Environmental Overlay Zones and Scenic Resource Zones. 1308, adopt the Central City 2035 Plan, amend the Comprehensive Plan Map, Transportation System Plan, Willamette Greenway Plan, Willamette River Greenway Inventory, Scenic Resources Protection Plan, Zoning Map and Title 33, repeal and replace prior Central City plans and documents. 1309, adopt the Central City 2035 Plan Action Charts, Performance Targets, and Urban Design Diagrams. And 1310, adopt the Central City 2035 Green Plan, Green Loop Concept Report.
Sorry. Colleagues, today is a continuation of the Central City 2035 matter. The Central City will be the first amendment to the new comprehensive plan. As I'm sure you all recall, we've held public hearings and took testimony on Central City 2035 on September 7th, 14th, and 20th. We held deliberation sessions on October 18th and November 29th. All the items that we moved and seconded during those days will be in the amendments report that's going to be a subject of a public hearing here on January 18th. Today we're going to continue to discuss items of interest to council members and decide if we want to move and second additional amendments to include in the amendments report. There will be no public testimony today. And just as a reminder for those of you who are following this process, and I know there's many, the public record is currently closed. That means we are not accepting written testimony at this point either. However, the record will open up again on January 5th in preparation to the January 18th public hearing on the Central City 2035 Amendment Report. And Sally, I assume you'll want to walk us through today's agenda.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor and members of City Council. We've organized the agenda today into two parts, just as we did last time. The first part includes items that staff believes that council should discuss or council has indicated that they would like to discuss. And the second part of the agenda is a package of amendments that we believe are minor or technical amendments that council could move and second as a package. So before we go further, I'm just hoping that council can let us know if there are any items on that list of technical amendments that they'd like to pull for discussion. But there's one other item that we were hoping to pull back into that minor and technical group, and that is parking and loading on Southwest First. That's item N1 we were hoping to include as part of that package.
So, Council, looking at the blue page, are there any of those items that you'd like to discuss or that you're comfortable moving and seconding or are you comfortable just moving and seconding those items as a group?
Give me 1 sec, Mayor.
Yeah, it's right before the fold that there's a blue sheet. And it's listed as amendments and discussion items, and the exception being, of course, N1 has been moved down to the minor and technical amendments.
And that's N1 you wanted to move into that, is that correct?
Yes, please.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Me too.
Do I have a motion to move the minor and, first of all, we need a motion and a second to accept the amendments and discussion items, is that correct?
That's correct.
Where is that sheet?
Moved.
The blue one.
Do I have a second?
Are you moving on the parking?
Just the amendments and discussion items.
Oh, okay. Second. Yeah.
So we have a motion and a second for the discussion items. Do I have a motion to move the minor and technical amendments package?
Including N1, yes.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second on the minor and technical amendments package, including N1. Okay, so now those items that have been moved and seconded will be moved to the amendments report that's going to be a subject of the January 18th hearing.
Okay, that's great. So we will follow the same process we've done in the past, and staff will introduce the items. Most of the items on the agenda today are actual proposed amendments. They're just a few discussion-only items. Once staff gives a presentation, the council member who sponsored it can begin the discussion.
And just to be clear, as per usual, if there's no second, the proposed amendment will not be part of the amendments package that will be provided to us on January 18th.
Mayor, can I address that for a second?
Yes.
Because that's a slightly different process than we normally follow, and I just want to offer the public my perspective on that. By seconding an item, we are ensuring that we will have a further conversation about the item. We are not signaling that there is council support for the item. We are not locking in future action. In my view, having watched this unfold for a while, is that if one of my colleagues strongly is interested in further assessment of an item, I think it is good form to second it for the purpose of having a further discussion. But that does not mean that either the second or the rest of the council is in accord with the direction of that policy. It just means we want to have further discussion. I think that's important that people hear, because I think it comes close to being disrespectful not to push forward to the next phase something that one of my colleagues thinks is of sufficient importance that they want to have follow-up further discussion. That's just how I look at it.
Yeah, and Commissioner Fish, I'd like to agree with that philosophy. And sometimes there are conversations that we need to have where people want to ask for more information. So I certainly concur with your viewpoint. So we're not necessarily – we're now looking at what we have in our packets as these very large – foldouts. We are not going to go through them exactly in order. So we're going to start with the Table C items. Those are the scenic view items. We've had a lot of discussions about resources, scenic resources in the central city, views of Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, and the city's skyline have been discussed, and they certainly contribute to our city's identity. And there has been a strong consensus that protecting many of those views is important for future generations. We obviously need to balance protecting views against our city's stated objectives around housing, jobs, and transportation as well. So not all 153 views that cross the central city can necessarily be protected given that. Personally, I'm committed to finding the best mix possible that we can so that residents, employees, and visitors all have access to what I believe are some fairly unique views to our community. So, Mindy, I guess you're going to start off our conversation today with regard to the C items.
Yes, good afternoon, Commissioners. Mindy Brooks, Planning and Sustainability. We've just got two items to discuss today. The first one is a view of the city skyline from Sullivan's Gulch. This is an existing viewpoint on the 12th Avenue overpass over I-84. There are height limits today that have been in place since 1991 to protect this view. And the staff recommendation from Planning and Sustainability Commission is to move the viewpoint from 12th Avenue to a yet-to-be-constructed bike and pedestrian bridge that'll be between 7th and 8th about, and then move the viewpoint and the heights accordingly. Excuse me. At the October session, there was a concept proposed to retain the existing viewpoint and the existing heights. And then based on additional conversations with Commissioner Salzman's staff, we have looked at three different options, which are the three in front of you, and I'm going to walk you through them. Before I walk through them, I just want to point out on the screen, they're also in your packet if you want to fold them out and mark them. The gray dashed area is the full area where change could be considered, and there are different mixes within that gray dashed area. So option one is the recommendation that came forward. This moves the viewpoint to the new alignment of the bridge, and it puts the viewpoint in the center of that alignment and changes the heights accordingly. Option two is the existing heights that are in place now, so it would keep the viewpoint at 12th Avenue where it is now and keep the heights as they are today. And then option three is to move to the new bike ped bridge alignment, but move the viewpoint slightly south of center. And that'll change how the properties are impacted. So let me show that. So this is a image that shows all three of those options on top of each other. The red line, or maybe it's kind of brown on the screen now, but the red outline is the existing view corridor with the existing heights. The blue is the recommended view, which is the center line of the new alignment, and the yellow is the alternative, which shifts the viewpoint to the south of the alignment. And what I want to point out, first, by moving it from 12th to the new overpass, less of the properties on the north side are impacted, more to the south are impacted by the view corridor. But if between the two options, the blue and the yellow, the blue has more impacts to the northern properties and the yellow has more impacts to the southern properties there. And the reason why staff chose the center line is because we don't know where a bump out of viewpoint would be designed on this new bridge. It hasn't been designed yet. And so we figured center is a good place to start from, and we can make adjustments later after there is a viewpoint. I want to point out on this, and maybe my cursor will work a little bit. Yeah. So this line here, this blue line that hopefully you can see that, is where the recommendation is. The yellow line is the new. So there are a number of properties that have never had height limits that if we choose option three would have height limits applied to them.
But none of the properties that are currently developed would interfere with the views in any of those looks or not?
We have tried very hard to avoid to make this based on what the development looks like now to the extent that we can. Things keep developing, so we keep working on it, but we're trying to avoid properties that are already fully developed at a height. So I'm going to take it back to just this. I can flip back and forth if you want to see the other one, but these are the three options, again, set against themselves, and I will turn it over to you, Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you. So I do support the relocating the viewpoint to the new bridge, 7th Avenue Bridge, I guess I'll call it, and shifting the point of measurement to the south. So it was my understanding that if we did that, we would not impact southern properties any more than they are impacted by the current view shed, though. So I was a little perplexed by your coloring diagram there.
They would be. So
it would be impacted. So it's not the same as lining up on the blue line. There is.
It's not. So if you shift the whole viewpoint from the center to the south, then that bottom line is where the view would come across the properties. So it does have more impact on the properties on the south to shift it that way.
Could you go back to the last slide, options 1, 2, and 3? So Commissioner Salzman, is the proposal you're discussing now option 3, the alternate view?
I believe that is option 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is option 3.
That is option 3. Okay.
One of the things that's hard to assess, I mean, the next slide, if we can go forward, that does a really good job visually showing us the impact, but it doesn't really tell us what the true impact is because we don't have information about the underlying zoning intentions with regard to the impacted property. So what is your guidance to us for how we make this decision, since, again, you've done a very good job showing us the impact of visually, how the sight line would change, but it doesn't really give us information about how it would impact future development or existing property owners.
Sure. So staff recommendation would be to leave it at the center for now, which would be the blue area with the blue line. That has been the proposal all along, so all the property owners that were impacted by that have been noticed and have had an opportunity to come forward. When the design is done for this bridge, and I understand that it is moving along, the new bridge will be coming along. Once we know where a viewpoint will actually be designed, we can make changes to this. We can come back and actually change it based on the view, the actual viewpoint and view itself. So that would be the recommendation.
And my only concern with the alternative view currently is what Dan alluded to a second ago, which is the expanded impact on properties mm-hmm. and not knowing really what is the consequence of that.
Right. And right.
Although in looking at the properties, now if I'm not mistaken, that big shaded area, Northeast 3rd and Burnside, wouldn't that be the building that was just built, the high-rise there? So, I mean, there's nothing we can do that's going to impact its height.
Right. Are you referring to the Yards building?
The Yards, right. Mm-hmm. I think that's what that big block is there. Between
right there.
Yeah, right there.
Right. This right here, this edge, where my – can you
yeah.
see the cursor?
Right.
That is the edge. So the – even – moving it to the south, the Yards building would be just outside of the view.
Okay.
That was intentional when we drew it to begin with, because the Yards building blocks that side of the view, so we wouldn't want to include.
Right.
Where's Hooper Detox on this, just to be clear?
I'm not sure. Let me ask.
Between Cooch and Burnside on MLK.
Bert? Okay.
Okay, so it would a bit of a
so
bit
that's
of,
out.
Yeah, okay.
That would be outside. Out. This is Cooch.
So
this is Burnside.
Move a little north from there for a sec on your cursor. Keep going. What's that building? Because that's clearly impacted by the expansion.
I don't know. I think that's Stark Vacuum.
Maybe Stark Vacuum. No.
No, they're on the west side, I think.
On the west side of Davis.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Well, I think that, you know, I guess the point I was trying to make is, and maybe it's a wrong point, but it looked like maybe a lot of these properties have already been redeveloped. They're already at their new heights. They're not likely to be impacted. But if that's not a true statement, then maybe we should carry it forward. I guess mm-hmm. I'm reluctant to sort of leave uncertain for a long period of time where that viewshed is going to fall, because that mm-hmm. does, you know, people don't like uncertainty.
Yes.
Property owners don't like uncertainty. And I'm not sure what the process, I know the 7th Avenue Bridge is under discussion and all that, but and it's been funded by this council. So it may be relatively quick, but then.
Yeah.
So I guess if I'd like to see us carry this forward to a January 18th discussion and vote, and I'd like my homework assignment would be to find out more about the schedule for the 7th Avenue Bridge.
Okay.
And when we could actually, but I do think the 7th Avenue Bridge is the best point to measure the viewshed from. It's just a question of whether we move it south or not.
And Dan, may I add a homework assignment?
Yeah.
Could we get an annotated map with the impacted
Absolutely.
Properties and just let us know? Because there could be some winners and losers here, and I'd just like to know how it works.
So let me just be clear, Commissioner Salzman, you are recommending option 3.
Right.
And Commissioner Fish, you are asking for when we come back to you with the hearing that we bring you, well,
more
in advance of that, bring you the information.
Who's impacted by, yep. by the different quarter.
Do you want to forward that as an amendment then for a discussion?
Okay.
Sound.
Yeah, and I guess I just don't want to foreclose moving the viewpoint south.
Very yep. good. Then let's okay. go ahead and move yeah. that. And is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's moved by Commissioner Salzman, second by Commissioner Fish. Moving on to the next one, Mindy, I believe that's C7, the view from Upper Hall.
Yes.
And I believe that's just being offered up as a discussion item as opposed to anybody proffering.
Correct. So this is the view from Upper Hall. It's, as you can see on the screen, it's a panoramic view of all three area mountains and the central city skyline itself. This is actually one of two locations in the central city where you can see Mount Adams and where we protect the view of Mount Adams. The other is from the Rose Garden, where we protect this view. The testimony, or the, I'm sorry, the maps on the screen here are the existing and the recommended heights. And so the recommendation was to leave the base height alone, but that the bonus height would need to come from 460 to 410 in order to be protective of that view of Mount Adams. And I think I'll leave it there unless if there are questions about that.
And that is the block where the food carts are presently located on 10th and Yamhill?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the recommended maximum heights, but you're not asking us to do anything on that?
There was no amendment offered. There was just a request that we discuss this one.
410 is what's already proposed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that is what is proposed, is reducing the bonus height from 460 to 410 to protect this view.
Can I ask a question that's not necessarily related to the zoning question? The view you showed us on Upper Hall, where is that from? Is that from a sidewalk?
It is.
And is that view in any way protected from adjacent private property owners?
Do you mean from development?
Yes.
That would block
yes,
it from adjacent property owners?
Yes, I should have said protected by as opposed to protected from.
Yes, it is. Yes. Today, that is a protected view. There's actually a height limit just in front of the view that doesn't extend very far. It's a 30-foot height limit that protects the immediate view itself. Most of it is actually right-of-way because Upper Hall is a hairpin turn. So a lot of that height limit is actually sitting on right-of-way.
Okay, so I'll just throw out a marker for further discussion that has nothing to do with zoning, and that is, you know, sometimes I trudge up that thing on my bike. People have gotten very, very creative with plantings in order to block those views from the public. And if we are going to take the time, energy, and resources to protect these views as a public asset, then we need to talk about planting strategies.
Absolutely.
I didn't even know you could get those things to grow 30 feet tall, but people have managed to figure it out. All right, so
I ask one question on this, on the recommended height. The two properties to the east, are those the two structures which are now being renovated to hotels? Is that one of those the historic building on the corner, and the other one the building that used to be office, but they're both now being turned into hotels? Am I in the right?
The Woodlark building.
Yeah. I'm seeing general nods from my colleagues.
And those are being renovated. One of them is a historic structure. They're being renovated. So they're not actually going to be built anytime soon above. We're just talking about the empty lot.
Right.
And a modest reduction to protect the view corridor.
Correct.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
So we don't need an amendment on that item. We're going to shift gears and go over to item E1. This is Volunteers of America. Troy, I believe you're going to give us some background on this one.
I am, Mayor. I'm Troy Doss with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. You may recall that when we were taking public testimony, the Volunteers of America came in and they requested that there be a zone change for a property they own in the Central East Side. The property is currently zoned IG1. It's an industrial zone. Actually falls in the industrial sanctuary classification. But on that site is a pre-existing women's treatment center that's been there really since the 1930s, and then daycare was added approximately 1990s. They'd like to redevelop the site with the same use and expand it, modernize it, but the current zoning does not allow for that. So their request was, can we rezone it to EX, which is a mixed-use zone, and it would remove it from the industrial classification. The Central East Side Industrial Council was concerned about the loss of industrial land there. We tend to agree with them on that. And so we were directed to try to find a way to allow the use in this situation that wouldn't completely change the base zone. So what we've done is we've proposed an amendment for the Central East Side that basically would say, if you're an established existing use in the Central East Side and you already have group living, community service, or daycare uses, you can redevelop on site. And you can redevelop to a FAR floor area ratio of 3:1. That gives them approximately 120,000 square feet of development potential. It's consistent with the current approach towards industrial office uses in the district. And Volunteers of America said this would work perfectly for them. And it's consistent with the direction that the Central East Side Industrial Council has asked us to go.
This would be as of right, so it's not a conditional use?
As of right.
So it's not subject to a 10-year renewal?
No. Just,
if you follow these guidelines, unless you discontinue the...
If you discontinue, then we'd go back to the industrial use classifications primarily. They'd have to go through that process.
You know, just by way of history, Volunteers of America acquired a lot of property in this corridor at a time when it wasn't deemed to be very attractive. You know, it was not the most valuable dirt in the city, but from donors and people through their estates who gave land. So they have some sites. and they held on to them, and now, of course, it's a very desirable area with access to transit. So I think that's why there's strong sentiment on the council to allow them to develop a public benefit like this.
So we'll turn this back over to the mayor, I believe.
Well, very good. Certainly, I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, so we'll continue that. And I believe we're all very supportive of this, and I want to thank you for working with the Central Eastside Industrial Group to forge what I think is a really common sense proposal here. VOA has done a lot of great work in the community over the decades, and we certainly want to see that continue.
Commissioner, it's also a brilliant solution. Well done. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. Very good thinking. Next up is Table M South Waterfront. Troy, can you walk us through the potential amendment?
Yeah, this one, there was a request from Zidel. They're putting a master plan together for the Zidel Yards. And one of the things that this proposal and eventually OHSU is probably likely to find as well is when we adopted the South Waterfront Plan, we established a greenway setback. And we do want development to be set back from that. But on top of that, there was a height setback that was applied. And when you look at how it's applied to the district, it works really well when you're measuring east to west from the edge of the greenway setback. But when you look at how the greenway comes in around the barge facility, it really starts to impact properties much further into the district, and it affects three primary development parcels, two which are currently in play. So what they'd asked is that we find an approach that would allow them to go forward. What we've proposed is that although we would maintain the greenway setback, exactly where it is and around the bargeway, we would straighten the line for the height setback so that really you still have a setback for development, but in terms of taller buildings, in this case 150 feet as opposed to 125 feet, they would not be affected by this provision.
What's the difference between the two slides?
The one to the left is showing how the height setback is kind of following the contours of the districts along the top of the bank that's more associated with the greenway setback. And what we've done is we've straightened that line out to be more specific to just height. Again, the greenway setback has remained. So what you see on the left is really showing that setback. On the right, you're seeing what would be the height setback.
It's hard to see, but there's sort of a little divot about halfway down on the left there, and what that represents is the bottom of their spillway, and that's why it dipped in the way it did.
It does, and in fact, you see another one comes up here, and that reflects actually an old culvert that used to be in the greenway that's no longer there. It's been restored, but anyway, we were contouring it based on the contours we had in 2003. Things have changed. Regardless, for this situation, though, the going in around the bargeway itself, and if you apply that same logic, it really starts to push back into development much further into the district than was anticipated. So we recommend straightening the height setback, leaving the rest of it the same.
Well, I like this solution. I think it's a good solution to the height issue without complicating the South Waterfront setback issue, which the greenway requirements, which this council obviously supports. So I'd certainly like to move this as an amendment.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion on this item? Very good. Moving on to 01, flexible building design policy. Troy, can you walk us through the amendments?
Yes. There was discussion and testimony regarding primarily focused on parking structures. Can we, if we have city owned parking structures that are developed, can we create them in such a way that they can be repurposed later on for other uses? This started to strike a chord. We remember other people saying this during the development of the concept plan several years back, saying, well, why not have that similar approach to all buildings, really, to the extent possible? So rather than creating a policy statement that really focuses exclusively on parking structures, we put this together that says we want to encourage building flexibility for any structure, including parking structures, so that they might be repurposed over time.
Well, I think you biased the conversation by showing a photograph of that particular structure. I'll certainly move this as an amendment if there's a second.
Second.
Great. We have lots of interest. Next up is 02, the Green Loop Resolution. Mark, you want to come up and join us, please? Thanks, Troy.
Thanks, Mayor. Commissioners.
So this amendment was came out of testimony we received on the Green Loop resolution, specifically from a letter from the Climate Justice Collaborative, and thinking more broadly about the citywide system of city greenways and the comprehensive plan and how to sort of forward other projects around the community. So the Green Loop is definitely part of a system of the city greenways throughout the city. We've been working a lot with the Lentz community, Green Lentz, and forwarding the Lentz Green Ring specifically. And we'd like to also add some other projects to think about citywide, not just in Lentz, but also in North Portland and potentially in the Sullivan's Gulch Trail as well. This amendment would sort of give the authorization to city staff to kind of raise our level of engagement sort of citywide to kind of forward these kinds of projects as a holistic sort of effort to improve parkways and these greenways throughout the city. As we work on the Green Loop, we can forward other initiatives as well. So that's sort of the bulk at this moment.
Mayor, if I could just make a comment. I'm going to support this, but I think it's redundant for a couple of reasons. One is we're doing Central City 2035, and if we take this to its extreme, everything that we're doing in 2035, someone could say, well, we want some consideration for something outside of Central City. And by definition, we are limited in our focus to the Central City. Number two, this says we're authorizing people to work with community partners. I don't want there to be any doubt that we are currently engaged in those conversations. In fact, the North Portland Greenway has been a longstanding priority of this council. The completing the 40-mile loop, figuring out this vision, linking it to Sullivan's Gulch. I mean, these are all bedrock city policies. So I just want to say I'm happy to support this, but technically we're talking about Central City 2035, and I don't want to – I mean, I think we shouldn't just take each of these up each time because some group feels like we haven't given adequate weight to something that's beyond the scope of the project. But I don't want – the quote, you are authorized to work with the community, to be interpreted as we're not already working with the community. These are things that the council is deeply committed to, and we technically don't need an amendment to reaffirm what we're already doing. But
could we do a friendly rewording of this? Because I'm compelled by what Commissioner Fish just said. Could we say are authorized to continue to work? Because I agree with you. This sounds like we're starting something new, but in fact, we're continuing an established policy. We're clarifying it and codifying it in the 2035 plan. But Commissioner Fish is right. If somebody just picks this up and reads it, it one could get the impression we're just starting from scratch, and we most certainly are not. Is that acceptable to everybody to make that wording change?
Yeah, I think that's better.
Yep.
And I think the legislative history is now clearer about. But
good.
Again, I don't think it's necessary, but I'm happy to second it.
Good. Then I'll move it.
Great.
Very good. Parking. Mauricio, do you want to come up and walk us through some of the proposed amendments with regard to parking?
Yes, Mauricio Leclerc with PBAC. Let's see. We have two, N2 and N3, so jumping right in. And the first one, we owe our thanks to our staff at BDS and BPS. They highlighted the potential loophole and a way in which our intended laws may, you know, backfire on us. So basically, we define structured parking, surface parking, a certain way. And since the 70s, we've been trying to minimize the amount of surface parking, We regulate parking policy in the central city by limiting the amount of surface parking and by limiting the amount of parking that can be done with our new development. We've done this. This code does both further limitations to surface parking as well as, you know, more limits as to how much parking you can build. Well, it has come to our attention, thanks to BDS and BPS staff, that you could interpret surface parking as you can have a surface parking lot and put a carport on top, like a light roof, and suddenly that would become structured parking. That's exactly what we don't want to do that. So in a way, to preempt that sort of a interpretation of the code, we want to clarify what we mean by that. So basically here it says that it has to actually have a building on top of it to be surface parking, to be structured parking. Oh, yeah, sorry, here. So that's the language basically says surface parking and structure parking with no gross building area above are prohibited. So you just a little thin roof over a parked car is not structure parking. Likewise, We want to clarify that if you are on top of a building, you could park there, like we do have in some smart parks, you know, that it's okay. So long as you have a building, a full building below it, or a building above it, that we consider restriction parking. If not, it's just surface parking. I think that could clarify the code.
So I'll have to move or second this. I have a friendly amendment, which I just noticed. In part A, it says, but nothing above it. Could we perhaps say no building area above it? Because you wouldn't mind if there was solar panels or
something. No built area above it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that clarifies it even better. No area above it. So
let me ask you another question. Today's Willamette Week had a suggestion that we tax the hell out of surface parking in order to encourage development. And I'm reminded that Charlie Hale's chief of staff, Josh, when he ran for council in 2002, ran on a platform of taxing the hell out of surface parking lot. And I think John Russell was a big booster of that. And there might have been strong opposition from another developer at the time. I'm just reminded of it as we're going through this. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm just noting that it's been something that's been kicked around as changing our tax code to tax impervious surface differently as a way of encouraging development.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with this.
Right, but it...
I withdraw my comment.
Yeah, but it does support the idea that we've been trying so hard since the 70s to redevelop the surface parking lot. We don't want to actually encourage more by not clarifying what the code means. So.
Okay.
This one requires somebody to introduce an amendment.
So. All right. So Commissioner Fritz found a friendly way to change that. Do you want to take that as a motion?
Yes, please.
We
second.
Have a motion. We have a second for N2. N1, of course, we move to the technical package. So next up is N3, OHSU parking rules.
All right. So,
ratio, sorry.
So on that one, we receive.
One moment. So with the parking, because I don't have the entire code language in front of me, it's hard to know exactly how that technical amendment works. And so it would be our recommendation to check in with the code writers and see the full context. So there might be, after we've had a chance to look at it, there might be a further clarification.
Okay, and can somebody work on that while we're in session and bring it back to us before we leave?
Yes.
So it's the three. We have A, but we don't have B and C. And so, we can do our best.
Okay, let's see if we can get it done so we don't have to revisit it.
We just save space.
Well, it's just that it just says the re-lettered.
So she wants to do...
But you were not addressing any of those, right? You just wanted to be talking...
No,
you're just changing the word nothing to no built area.
Yeah.
That's at least an hour conversation.
I'm not changing anything in B and C.
Okay, so we'll let... Okay. You'll just make sure that there's no lack of parallelism, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we're at N3.
All right. So
OHSU parking ratios.
Yeah. So the second one is OHSU sent a letter. Also, PSU signed it. They basically said that they're okay with the work that we've done on parking. You know, we've actually further limits how much you can build in South Waterfront. But they are explaining a concern, which is valid, according to staff, that the way they have been, you know, that the rules for preservation parking, which is basically parking for after your building has been built, you can build more to meet your entitlement. The way we wrote the code doesn't quite work to how their master plan is being implemented. So basically, they want a little bit more flexibility to be able to do the things that are in the master plan, basically. The idea would be to be able, they don't want to, they haven't been building parking with each building. They've been trying to bank it so that, like a campus, a normal campus has buildings, and then parking is grouped in a special place. So they've been doing that by what this new code does is provide a trigger. You need to have less parking than a certain amount to be able to qualify. That would disqualify many of their buildings from getting the parking that they had accounted for in their master plan. So a long story short, this gives them the flexibility to keep doing what they're doing to create the parking that they need and to continue to create their master plan, their master plan.
Mauricio, I've been spending a lot of time down there lately, and the parking, the existing parking is beyond capacity. And I think with the new buildings online, it's going to continue to... But the beauty of the way they have configured their parking is to get it off the streets and get it to places as quickly as possible, which I think is important. Is there a downside to this? Are we opening the door to something that's unintended?
Well, we're trying to avoid, in terms of the total amount of parking, not necessarily, because we have actually lowered how much they can ultimately get. We're trying to avoid an adverse effect, which would be that if we do not adjust what we're trying to do now, each OHSU would be forced to build parking with every new building and actually try to build as much parking with every building as possible to compensate for what they cannot do according to the code. So in a way, we're trying to avoid overbuilding parking and allow them to build it when they need it in a more strategic manner. So I don't think there's much of a downside. And we're limiting this to medical offices and colleges and to the South Waterfront area, which has already a unique circumstances. It has an established campus, and it's very hard already to build parking there. It's very expensive to build, especially underground. So I think we're not under the danger of overbuilding parking in this district as a result of this policy change. You know?
Commissioner Fritz, did you have a question?
I just was willing to move it forward for the point of discussion. I do have some concerns about whether it overly broadens it.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second then on N3. That takes us next to height and FAR. Rachel, do you want to come up and walk us through some of these proposals? Joe, thank you.
Good afternoon. Rachel Hoy with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. So the next table that we're going to walk through is Table B. So that should be at the front of your packet. These are the two items that we're going to talk about. So this first item, this is a discussion item, so no amendment has been put forward. The request is to increase the FAR on the half block at 87 Southwest Stark. So the current FAR on this half block is 4-1. Request is to go to 6-1. I will point out that this whole area from the Markham Bridge to the Broadway Bridge along the riverfront, the FAR is 4-1. So staff's recommendation has been to maintain that FAR at 4-1. Generally, we have lower FARs along the waterfront to align with lower heights. And this, I would just point out, this site can receive bonus FAR up to 3-1. So I just want to turn that over if there's further discussion that you would like to have about this particular item.
It can receive bonus 3-1 on top of the 4-1?
That's right. These are their base FARs. So all of these sites have the ability, including this one, to get an additional 3-1 bonus.
Trying to just remember what's there. Is it like a record store and a tattoo parlor?
That's a surface lot.
It's a surface lot?
At this particular site. And it is, again, the way we've outlined it, the request is for that half block. The half of, to the north is within the historic district.
And what rationale has been put forward for this increase?
Part of the rationale was the proximity to just to the west. The FAR is 9-1. So an interest in having an FAR similar to the adjacent sites. So our rationale has been it's also this is a kind of a narrow area along the waterfront, and we've typically the pattern we've maintained is a 4-1 pattern along our riverfront.
All right, good. I don't sense any urgency to put forth any amendments on that. Is there any further discussion anybody wants to have on this particular item? Very good. B5, River Place height and master plan adjustments. Joe, I think
so
you
I
were.
Have to,
I'm sorry, Commissioner.
I have to excuse myself due to my family's ownership interests in properties that could be impacted by the changes in height for this amendment, so I will excuse myself.
Duly noted. Don't go far.
Okay.
So next up, B5, River Place height master plan adjustments. Joe or Rachel, I'm not sure.
I'm just going to start out, and I want to recap a little bit. We did talk about a River Place testimony that was received, and through that testimony, the owner of the site had requested additional height allowances at this location, as you can see highlighted in red on the map. They did not request any increases to density. And I would just want to point out, this is a different proposal than the one that went before the Planning and Sustainability Commission. A little background on the site, as you can see here on the slide, the current heights are mostly at 125 feet. There is some area at 150. The existing floor area ratio of the site is 4:1. And the map to the right shows the Planning and Sustainability did vote to increase the maximum heights from 200 on the western edge of the site, and it slowly decreases from 150 to 125, approaching the river. The PSC also raised the FAR on the site from 4:1 to 5:1 for this area highlighted in red. Their rationale there was to maximize redevelopment potential of the site and its inclusion of affordable housing in the future. So the property owner request is requesting basically the same building height limits common to the adjacent South Waterfront subdistrict. And those heights range from 325 to 150 as you approach the river. And in addition, the request was for one iconic building up to 400 feet within the redevelopment area. The owner suggested that the need for this additional height was to help meet public objectives, especially in the case of the concept they submitted. Their concept included a publicly accessible park that, combined with accessways, is close to 2 acres of the 8-acre site. They also proposed a taller building as a way to achieve allow densities while still including these additional public benefits. So I'm going to turn this over to Joe.
Joe Zender with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. So I just wanted to walk us quickly through the rationale that we brought to building the recommendation that's in front of you today, or the proposed amendment. When we looked at the height allowances on this site, the proposal and the current owner who started this discussion with the Planning and Sustainability Commission has a particular idea and development program. When we're setting allowances, we're setting allowances for that, but also in case another developer is ultimately and another plan is ultimately going to be what's built here, but we want to put in place allowances that make sense with the location and with our approach to height in the central city and on the waterfront. So these seven sort of considerations that are on the slide here are versions of the same ones that we have been talking about for a while now that we've used elsewhere in the central city. Principle number one is that height increases in Central City 2035 are only coming through a bonus, and that is true of this case. The current base height limits would stay the same, but we're talking about allowing more height, but only through a bonus, and that bonus is our inclusionary housing program to start with. Secondly, we're continuing something that you've talked a lot about, which is to protect public views, and here we have a public view from Terwilliger of Mount St. Helens, and it's from a pull-off. It's a full-on public view with a viewing area, and when you look at the proposal, that's why there's this lower height swath cutting through the center of the site, so we've managed to do that. Part of what we see in talking with the particular proposal that's on the table now is that, indeed, for the amount of development that we would like to see on the riverfront and in River Place, to bring it even up to what is allowed today, because in that first generation of the development of this site, it was built at a lot lower density than is actually even allowed, because it was built in the 80s and the 90s. When you allow buildings to go vertical, you open the ability to have more open area, circulation area, and these open spaces, you have more options to get a better design to introduce a relatively large precinct, a new large development into our city and into our waterfront. So that was a compelling argument, and one that we've used on the Broadway corridor and the post office. This is not a new thinking. It's just was compelling when applied to here. So when we thought about those approaches, we have a precedent that we've already negotiated and deliberated through for an extended period of time, and that's the rules that we use in South Waterfront. And so we looked at those in addition to the height allowances, and we're going to bring those up and apply them to the site, as Rachel will explain next. So we have a set, we have a precedent and a set of approaches that talks about how close towers can be together. How do you get visual and physical permeability, ways through the site so it doesn't just become a wall? How do you look at shadows? How do you look at the public realm? Those we're bringing up into the proposal as well. So we have that precedent to use here. In that precedent, like I said, we elsewhere in the central city, we considered the impact of where we allow more or less height on adjacent parks. And in this one, we have an interesting situation where it's adjacent to Waterfront Park, and if we're able to get, by going vertical, more open space on the site, and I'll arrange that so it's next to the Waterfront Park, that could be one of the biggest additions to that open space system that we've made in a while. We want to leverage major transit investments. We have streetcar here. We've already invested. It's up the hill, but near our extension of the MAX line as well. And the whole discussion started, and possibly even at the PSC, there was enthusiasm for reinvestment in the waterfront. Doesn't take necessarily this scale to do it, but when we step back and look what was right for the site and consistent with our plans, that's the basis on which we made the recommendation that Rachel's going to give you.
So I'm going to walk you through a couple slides to further lay out the proposed amendments. This is the view corridor that we're talking about from Terwilliger Parkway, a view of Mount St. Helens that Central City 2035 preserves. Here is another aerial showing you how the view corridor crosses the site. And so just to talk through some of the proposal for height here, we'd like to propose that the base height remains at 125 across the entire site. The red arrows point to two areas. I wonder if my cursor works. Yes. Yeah, so these two red areas, arrows point to two areas outside of the view corridor out that may go up to 325 feet. This height is the maximum that can be achieved in South Waterfront. As Joe mentioned, also similar to what South Waterfront, staff has put together some code language that's in your packet for additional standards that would be required that these be narrower towers should the project want to go to these heights. Other proposed heights within the site, within the view corridor itself, in this area, the proposal is up to 250 feet, and this goes down as you approach the river to 150 feet. There are also proposed additional standards that would apply to the entire site that will require special building spacing. So as Joe referred to avoid these kind of long walls through the development, so special spacing between buildings, special orientation of buildings, so we have better visual permeability through the site. So here is another picture of what the view would look like with these potential height opportunity areas, as I mentioned.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Given that you've made a lot about narrower buildings to protect sight lines, why does this picture look like Co-op City?
So that, and this is just the way that we do our modeling. We haven't sculpted these buildings at all. It simply is just to show.
Just to be clear, listening to Joe.
Yes.
Under the view that he expressed, there would be lots of separation between buildings and discrete corridors. It would not be a wall like this.
These are not buildings.
That's
these
correct.
Are, yes.
These are just
important,
an envelope.
It's important. Yeah, this yeah. is the FAR envelope.
Yes, that's correct.
It's important to note that we don't want to misrepresent either way,
right.
like by designing something that's our fantasy. The design review process and these rules we put in place is going to make this work no matter what development team or proposal moves
just,
forward.
Just by way of an interesting exercise for some other day, do this exercise on the south waterfront as it is allowed versus what is actually built, and you'll see that actual results may vary considerably from the envelope.
And it also varies considerably for what was expected, because I was on the Planning Commission when we heard similar arguments that would be plenty of views down the green streets and that really there would be a lot of ways to see through because of the sculpting of the buildings. And my impression is that really hasn't turned out so well. So I'm quite concerned about this one.
So this is a slide, showing you a cross-section from downtown Park Avenue down to the waterfront. This actually cuts straight through the building that we're in, the 1900 building. So it gives you an idea what we've done here in gray and black. It's a profile of the existing buildings. The orange line shows you the recommended heights that are in the recommended draft. So you'll see from the transit mall at 460, the gradual step down to the river in the heights. The area in green are the proposed amended heights for the River Place area.
So it would go up to 325, even though it's behind it is 250.
This is to show you. Yes, the area in green would be if those that would be the amount that they could go up to, the maximum amount as proposed, up to 325. It still does represent with the bluff
in
this area.
Is the 250 mean sea level, or is it above ground? Where's the 250?
Ground.
Yes.
Okay. So it is stair stepped up.
Yeah. If we were to approve this amendment, it would stair step up.
Did that's my correct. Point make any sense, or is it one of these things where I have cartoons on the inside of my
eyelids?
Okay, great.
It does stair step up,
okay.
And this diagram shows how that works with the grade differential between
all right,
that's right, the bluff,
the top of the hill, and the waterfront.
Still stair step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Good. Thank you. Just checking.
Sure.
You're right.
So just to summarize, so there are a set of five proposed amendments to put forward. So I'll walk through those. And so the first one is to apply a height opportunity area. So the areas in red on the map would be considered height opportunity areas. In these areas, bonus height may go up to 325. There would be additional standards that would apply, similar to South Waterfront, for the building massing that would result in narrower towers within these areas should a project decide to go to those heights. The other heights on the site would range from 250 to 150 as you approach the river. Number two, there would be a requirement for additional standards that would apply to the entire site that would require spacing between additional spacing between buildings and orientation of buildings to allow visual permeability through the site. Number three, require a master plan for the site. So Joe talked a bit about this. This is a new tool that we've revised in the Central City Plan that would provide an urban design and development framework for the site. It would address site elements, for example, the location of open space, connectivity through the site for public and private streets and accessways, as well as requiring shadow studies to preserve light and air on parks and adjacent open space and the waterfront. Number four, this is also an element of the master plan. There is, as I mentioned, an open area requirement within the master plan. For this particular site, we've proposed that there would be open area adjacent to South Waterfront Park, and that is the open space just adjacent to this property. It is adjacent to the waterfront, and they would be required to have some level of open space to improve the access to the waterfront. Number five is a minor technical amendment, but one that we do need to make that corrects the view corridor that you saw mapped of the Terwilliger from Terwilliger Parkway, and it's updating our scenic resource protection map to align with the correct, a more correct elevation for the site. So those are the five amendments on the table, and I'd like to turn it over to the mayor.
I want to hear from Commissioner Fish, but can we move these as a package? Mm-hmm.
That was our thinking.
Okay.
Mayor, I just have a couple of questions just to clarify this before we move anything. So, Joe, I got a couple letters from people saying you shouldn't do this because it's spot zoning. So could you address that for me?
And spot zoning, it's spot zoning has a bad name when in the cases where it's applied for the particular